Much of the debate in Harrisburg this summer has been centered on how Pennsylvania should overcome its sizable budget deficit. But as usual, there has also been a great deal of focus on issues related to public school funding and policy. Keystone Crossroads education reporter Kevin McCory catches us up on what's happened and what's to come.
If you haven't noticed, this is a historic occasion.
The summer began with fanfare in the Capitol Rotunda. A compromise had been reached on a long-debated effort to overhaul the retirement system for teachers and state workers. Governor Tom Wolf and the legislature agreed on a plan for new hires only that eliminates what workers currently get, a full guaranteed pension payout. Instead, they'll have the choice of a few options, which will give them a split between a pension and the type of 401k that most have in the private sector.
Simply put, this bill is a win for Pennsylvania taxpayers. It's also fair to Pennsylvania's workforce, and I will be proud to sign it in just a few minutes.
The measure goes a long way to protect taxpayers decades into the future, who will now avoid carrying the full risk of the stock market. In a downturn, new hires will shoulder a chunk of those losses, instead of state government and school districts being fully on the hook. Senate Majority Leader Jake Corman, a Centre County Republican, had been pushing a version of the bill that would have been much less friendly to workers, but he was happy with the final deal.
You know, we could all stand in our ideological purity, go to our corners, introduce legislation, and never get anything done. Or we could come together as a General Assembly and try to fix the problems of Pennsylvania.
For the past 7 years, pension costs have been rapidly rising, largely due to actions by state government in the 2000s. This has been a nightmare for local school boards, pushing them to hike property taxes and reallocate resources that otherwise could have been used in classrooms. The new pension plan won't change this reality in the near term. There's still a large debt that needs to be paid down, leaving plenty of tough decisions ahead. Jay Himes heads the Pennsylvania Association of School Business Officials.
So you either cut or you raise property taxes, and in some cases, districts end up doing both of those things.
Looking at this year's education budget is case in point. In late June, lawmakers and the governor reached a deal that boosted the main pots of cash for public schools by $120 million. Public schools across the state, though, must collectively cough up $150 million new this year for pensions. Again, Senator Corman.
If you add up all the increase in pension costs for school districts, that doesn't even cover that. I mean, that doesn't even cover their pension increase from last year to this year.
For the past many years, this has been true. The rising costs public schools have faced in meeting pension obligations have been outstripped by the new money the state has dedicated toward the main pots of K-12 education funding, which in turn has led to many local property tax hikes. In part for this reason, education advocates have been calling for much larger yearly boosts from the state. This year, though, with Harrisburg facing a large budget deficit, advocates were satisfied with what they got. Susan Spica runs Education Voters PA.
School districts desperately need that funding. It isn't close to enough, but it is really at least something that will help stave off even deeper cuts and higher tax increases than school districts have already had to make.
The catch is that the state still hasn't come to consensus on how to pay for the spending side of its budget. So any increases at this point are, in reality, hypothetical. On another front, reforms to the state's 20-year-old charter law have remained elusive, with a leading bill stuck in a ping-pong match between the state House and Senate. Advocates like Spica think the current version of the bill makes it too easy for charters to open and expand.
It's going to make it very, very difficult for school districts to retain any kind of local control over, you know, responsible charter school expansion that, you know, local taxpayers are responsible for funding.
Charter school advocates like Tim Eller of the Keystone Charter Alliance laud the bill for promoting school choice, but have grown weary waiting for it to become law.
We're talking almost 6 years now. We've been trying to get some positive reforms for charter schools, and we're still not able to get this across the finish line.
There were other definitive actions. Career and technical education students now do not have to pass standardized tests in algebra, English, and biology in order to graduate high school. That requirement is still on the books for the rest of the students in the state, starting with the class of 2019. But it may be pushed back, and there's momentum behind abandoning the idea altogether. Whenever the state does finalize its budget, it will need to pass a new school code bill. As currently devised, the bill would allow districts to prioritize teacher effectiveness ratings over seniority when making layoffs. It would also prohibit districts from denying lunch to students who don't have the money to pay for it on hand. Kevin McCory, Keystone Crossroads.